Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 54 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Seeding the Spiritual Atmosphere, Part 2. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
I'm reminded, first time I went down to Elevation Church, and it's basically a 25 to 45-year-old church, or churches, I guess you could say. And there are, of course, older people there, but I mean, primarily you're 25, 45-year range. And the atmosphere is, it's a very fast-paced atmosphere. It's right in town there, or from the one I go to, there's at Lake Norman. And it's pretty fast-paced. It's kind of here in that you dress you shorts or whatever, or blue jeans, or it's pretty laid-back type atmosphere in that respect. But I noticed when I went into the sanctuary the first time that people were packing in. The very first Elevation service I went to was at the main campus, and people were lined up outside the door for about two blocks. They had been lined up to get in to the church service, and that was at night, actually, afternoon, and I think it started at 6. But anyway, people had been lined up for a couple of hours just waiting to get into church. But I thought, well, it's a pretty laid-back atmosphere and kind of a more contemporary type atmosphere. For some reason in my mind, I was trying to observe the success of this movement, of this church, of Elevation. Even though they were laid-back, I thought, well, what it is, they're appealing to this age group, or they had a coffee bar, you could get a cup of coffee or whatever. So I thought, well, it must be, you call that in church growth, you call that seeker sensitive. You're trying to be sensitive to those seeking God. And so you make it more seeker sensitive, it's called. As I saw that, I was thinking, well, that's the reason they're getting a lot of people. They're drawing people based off of trying to create a good atmosphere that would draw underneath that atmosphere, that age group or whatever. And so as I went on inside the service, and places filled up real quickly, and you kind of rush to find a seat. And as I went in there and to rush to find a seat, I went up, I was going to walk out, everybody got seated. I thought, well, I'm going to walk out a minute and sort of look around and see what else is going on here. Well, when I went to the door, we got all this traffic coming in, so I was kind of going against the flow. But then the usher there said, now once the doors are closed and the service starts, if you need to leave the sanctuary, that's fine, but you can't get back in. I thought, can't get back in. And I said, oh, okay. I said, I just want some understanding. What's your reasoning? He said, oh, we don't like any distractions from the worship service. He said, we're very intentional on the atmosphere we're creating for worship. But so if you have to go out, we have in the lobby, we have a TV screen. And so we understand people have to go out, and that's no problem. But we just don't allow people to come back in during the service, so it doesn't distract from the atmosphere that we're trying to create here to be conducive. And so I was thinking, wow, all of a sudden I thought it was more seeker sensitive, but I think it was more Bible sensitive, because they understand what atmosphere means. They understand what spiritual atmosphere means. And so they held kind of a line of reverence for the word, reverence for the what was the atmosphere is trying to be created in the sanctuary as the word was being given in his worship. So that enlightened me, because in my own mind, I thought, well, it's just being super sensitive and being laid back and kind of, but the truth is, that's not how you meet God. You don't meet God just all laid back. You meet God under an atmosphere that's conducive to the presence of God. And I've got a feeling if God walks into your house, you're not going to kick your shoes off and watch TV and say, hey, guy, go ahead and get your seat over there. I'll be with you in a minute. I just don't think that's the way the thing works. So we're wanting to be aware and of a spiritual atmosphere, because if things aren't happening, we need to ask the very hard question, why? There's nothing wrong with saying why. What's going on here? We need to take a look at some things. So in this, we are to be what I call a spiritual climatologist, in that we want to look at the atmosphere. We want to see what's going on around us. We don't want to be distracting we want to join the atmosphere. We all want to plug in to what's going on. Now, I went over last week, and I'm not going to go over, I'll just hit it real lightly, but on how we seed a spiritual atmosphere. I went over that last week, how we can be salt and light, and I showed you last week how that in seeding of atmosphere, which there's a lot of controversy, whether it should be done or if it could be done. But they've noticed they could drop different type chemicals over a cloud base. It can cause it to rain, help it to snow, whatever. In other words, man is contributes to, and there's some kind of far out research into how they can even cause storms and things like that. Tremendously controversial, as you can see. But the scripture shows us how we are the salt of the earth, and they talk about seeding or salting of the atmosphere, if you will, to create rain or create movement in the atmosphere. We see in the scripture that we're to be the salt of the earth. And we always are thinking of salt as preserving something. But I brought to your attention last week the possibility of salt being conducive to seeding spiritual atmosphere. In other words, if we're everywhere we go as the salt of the earth, we should be seeding the atmosphere in which where we are, of course, by the direction of the Holy Spirit. But to consider that we have that possibility of changing atmosphere, to me is intriguing. To me is exciting. And I was doing research on this, I thought, wow, there's sometimes I really seeded atmosphere with some thunderstorms. Anybody ever done? I'm not sure what kind of salt I was. I think I was doing ice cream salt instead of table salt or something. But, you know, it's just like I'm not so sure it was good what I was seeding with. But the idea is that the salt and the light, which last week I showed you was more of the lightning strikes, how that in the spirit of a storm shows us some prophetic insight to what happens in a storm. Ryan mentioned to me this morning, he said, you know, Alan, when two fronts come together, how was that you said it? Let me give you the mic right quickly. I thought that was very good, if you would. We were talking this morning about this, and he shared something with me here about.
I just said that whenever he talks about shifting atmospheres, I always think of the whole principle of a cold front and a warm front colliding is where we get storms.
Yes.
So that one can't exist. I mean, one pushing out one, the other or moving it is the friction of that occurrence is where lightning and thunder and all the storm comes
which,
from.
Which causes sometimes conflict.
Yeah.
And so we can see that the conflict of the storm. So I guess that it would be unusual for us to consider when we're changing atmosphere that it would not produce a little edge of conflict. And now, with the light, well, I went over the lightning, how it was electrostatic charge of lightning. And what happens is it's in the heavens and it touches the ground at the same time and you have a grounding. And so I showed you last week how we're pulling heaven to the earth with the light of God. I just went light. No, this is good. This is going to be an interesting day. I can tell this. Actually, our pastor's on vacation. I've got to speak twice. I'm like, surely this isn't the pre-game show here of what's going to happen. I say, I don't even know where I am. The thing just took on a mind of its own there. Okay. What is happening? That is a very good question for me this morning. What in the world is happening? Okay. God is asking us to make a shift in spiritual atmosphere of our surroundings and our lives. Now, I would like for us to consider as a prophetic people, please consider this. As a prophetic people, it's okay not to be satisfied with the atmosphere that's around your life right at the moment. That is, it is totally okay not to be satisfied with the atmosphere that you find around in your life. There's two ways to approach it. One is we're just going to hang out and hang around until it changes. Or the other one is I'm going to seed this cotton picking atmosphere. I'm going to seed it that it might change and be conducive to God and His kingdom and my life and everybody else's life. Now, salt and light create change by the giving of themselves, right? We were going to switch gears now. Not switch gears, we want to continue. Light in of itself profits nothing. When light shines on others, or when it's giving, lights are shining up here right now. Lights are, when lights shine, it exposes something. That's the purpose of light. When light shines, it exposes, but before light can shine, it has to give of itself to shine. I'm not sure which is the most important, the light or the giving. For what good is the light if it doesn't give? So prophetically, you're looking for the hidden, what I call the hidden motivators. You're looking for, there's hidden motivators that cause prophetic truth to move. Light, the hidden motivator, is giving. It gives of itself. Prophetically, giving is, a lot of times, if you're looking for hidden motivators, there will be two, three, or four. Light, there's one. It gives. It exposes. So, the key here is not so much the light as what I'm wanting to show prophetically. It's the giving. So, giving is a prophetic act. Giving of yourself. Giving away with no return. Are you with me? No return. You're not, that's reason in, especially in the church, you're looking to give but no return. You're given freely. And when we give freely, we're moving more into a prophetic move of changing atmosphere. Now, the giving of the best produces the best seed. So, in our giving, we learn we want to give, we'll say, God, the kingdom. We don't want to give what's left. We want to give the first. And we saw that in Scripture. Used to be in the old days, I call it now. People say, well, some people say, well, why did you? I think this is a good thing. Not that I'm promoting it by no means, but I understand it better now than I did. People would dress up on Sunday. Well, of course, it turned into a fashion show, that's for sure. But originally, the idea behind that, well, I'm going to give God my best. That's the idea behind it. And so, as people want to do that in their dress, I think it's great. I think it's fine. Do I think it's that we are? It's just an intent of the heart is what it is, what I'm saying. So, as a people that we call ourselves more free, I'm not really sure how free we are sometimes, but we consider ourselves more free that we're not under that bondage, let's say. But we need to understand that when it was done with a purpose and a reason, and the reason was this giving idea. I'm going to give God my best. And it's not that you have to have a suit and tie and a full-length dress to give God your best. That's it. Sometimes giving God your best is just the cleanest pair of blue jeans you got, right? But the idea is the giving God of your best. And that is the mindset of the prophetic. And the battle is, I'm just going to give God something. I want to give God 10%. Well, that's not the idea. You want to give God the best 10%. So why do we say, well, why do you tithe off the front end instead of the back end? Because the best is on the front end. Yeah. It's just a spiritual understanding of giving. That's all. It's not about your money. It's not about your clothes. It's not about anything. But it is about giving. So as we see, we're seeding atmosphere. Let's say if you... Let's say that you go to the mall and it's cold and you just bought a new coat and it's the best coat you got. And you go to the mall and as you're getting ready to walk into the front door there, you see somebody there that's cold and they're shaking. They don't have a coat and the Spirit of God says, give them your coat. Well, the first thing you got to do is process that and say, well, what if I gave him $40, Lord, and let him go in the mall and get him a coat? Now, mine was $240, but I'm going to give him $40. They can go get a good coat. See, that's not the idea. The idea of a prophetic people is a people that uses the best seed. Did you get it?
Yeah.
You see, you give them your best coat. When you give them your best coat, you just sowed in that life the best seed you've got to give. A $40 coat probably won't do nothing but keep them warm. Your best coat will probably keep them warm and get them saved.
There you go. Come on.
Because it's the best seed you had. The widow that gave the little bit of money she had. Wasn't the amount of money, but she gave all she gave the best she had. And what happened with that good seed? It had a pretty good return. Why? It's the seeding. It's the blessings hidden in the seed. So we say, well, I'm going to give God a little of my time or whatever I got, you know. They're leading me down to the church house, but I've got to do this. Well, when I don't have anything to do, I'm going to go help them. Right?
Yep.
See, our whole concept, especially in this day and time, is we give God what we have extra. See, the problem with that mentality, you're always using the last seed. Now listen to me here. When you use the last seed, you don't have any seed to plant. Very seldom do I have enough corn to plant. You plant, if I was going to give you some seed, I've got one person that gets a little bit of corn for me every year. I knew the Lord wanted me to give it to him. But I learned I had to give him seed before I planted or he wouldn't have any seed. Now listen, corn's $300 a bag this day and time. It's expensive. But I knew I was to give him some seed. If I didn't give him my first of my seed, so that means that I'm probably going to run out of seed before I get done. So you can see if you give out of what you got left, you're probably not going to ever give anything.
Come on.
See, a lot of people want to give to God, but they don't understand the concept. They don't understand the spiritual rule, how it works. If you wait and give him money or give him of your time or give him of your life on what's left, you won't ever give, you won't ever get because you're planting your worst seed, not your best seed, and your best seed's going to give you 30-fold of 60-fold, 100-fold. You see, it's in the increase. The understanding as a prophetic people, we give God our best is what I'm after here. Are you with me? Now, so we want to give her this best seed. We give her the first seed. This giving concept, I am wanting to share with you prophetically the giving, what happens, not because anybody here wants anything you got. Okay? I don't want what you got. This church doesn't want what you got. But we do want you to be blessed. and to give where God wants you to sow seed, and the sowing of that seed will change the atmosphere. Now, let's move on. Oh, my goodness. I don't know why that thing is doing that. Okay. God established a principle in His Word for blessing and increase for His people, and that principle was the giving of first fruits or first seeds. Let's see if I'm right. Yeah, I'm right. A seed is an embryonic plant enclosed in a protective outer covering. The formation of the seed is part of the process of reproduction in seed plants. A seed is an embryonic plant enclosed in a protective outer covering. The formation of the seed is part of the process of reproduction. Now, some seed can lay in the ground for 15 years before it sprouts. You might give somebody a coat, and it might be 5 years before that seed sprouts. But when you sow seeds in the kingdom, I can't tell you when it'll sprout, but I can guarantee you this, she's going to sprout. It will sprout. Now, you've heard the scripture that what a man sows, so shall he reap. Now, that's a law of God, if you want to call this a law of God. It is used mostly when you do bad things, you'll reap bad things. The laws of God were written before the fall of man. So that biblical principle or law was created for your good. Not against you, for your good. Have you ever heard it said if you're on a ball team or something, they say, work the plan. Just work the plan. Well, as Christians and believers, all we got to do is work the plan. What you sow, you're going to reap. Well, it's a good thing, not a bad thing. You just got to understand the selection of seed. So when you plant what you're planting, you see, your seed will not sprout, will not grow. All of that creates a type of an atmosphere in which then the seed grow. In other words, God will hold that seed until the atmosphere will support the life of the seed. Right? You say, well, I'm going to teach my children, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do all these things. Now, you maybe do not have yet your expected results in your children. But this I can promise you, that seed will sprout. Now, we still need to be very selective on the seed that we sow. Yes. That's the reason I know it said, well, if you stop playing golf or fishing or something and go to your child's volleyball game or basketball game, you have then sown good seed. You've taken it off the top. You've taken the seed that you wanted, the time that you wanted to spend, and you've re-sown it in another area, which will seed atmosphere. Let me move on. Giving is a spiritual seeding of the atmosphere. God's established a principle in His Word for blessing and increase for His people, and that principle was the giving of first fruits or first seeds. First fruits, now the reason I switched it to first fruits, that's just the biblical term. It's usually translated in your Bible. But it's called the first seeds or the first fruits. Are the first and best portions, and they are set aside and given to the Lord as a sign that the remaining harvest yet to come is holy and blessed to the Lord. Now, here we're moving a little further. Not only are we moving now from seed selection, we have now just moved into how we get a great harvest. Number one, you have to have seed selection. But seed selection Got to look at it there. Seed selection is a sign that you are going to be blessed by the Lord. You see, you don't sit around and wait to be blessed by the Lord. Did anybody see that one?
I do. Come on.
You plant your best seed, and that's going to produce a blessing from the Lord. Right? It's hard to get a blessing out of bad seed unless you reap a harvest of more bad seed. God's not mad at you, you don't need no more seed in that area. Need some good seed. In other words, you got to give the Holy Ghost something to work with. Right? We just got to give him something to work with. Now, so it's a sign. First fruits are the first and best portion. They are set aside and given to the Lord. It's a sign. Oh, I thought the Lord gave us a sign. Here, we give the Lord a sign. Can you feel it? Did you feel that one right there? We give the Lord a sign. The Lord says, give him your best coat. You go and you give him your best coat. All of heaven sort of shakes. Somebody in heaven, hey, there's a sign down there on earth. Spirit's moving right here over here. Look at that. Right there it is. He just gave him his best coat. That's the sign to heaven. Everybody wakes up. I'm going to show it to you. You'll wake in heaven. I don't know what all the heaven does in affecting the earth, but there must be a whole lot more going on. I don't think they're up there drinking Cokes and eating moon pies. I think there's more going on that affects this earth. Now, I want you to see that. How do I send the Lord a sign? It's because I have just planted my best seed. Heaven wakes up and says, hey, there's some good seed planted right over here. I need 25 pound of blessing on that seed. 25 pound of seed right down there coming out of the treasures of heaven. I need it blessed right there.
Jesus. This is good.
You get it?
Yes.
So the seed selection, how do we see the atmosphere? What in the world is going on? So we send the Lord a sign. And it says, if the sign is that we are promised, if you give him the 10%, the promise is that the remaining harvest that's yet to come is holy and blessed. Once you figure this thing out, once you get to Revelation, you try to find out the good stuff you got and give it away. I know one guy, he had a pickup truck and an old truck, and he gave his best truck away. I checked him about 4 months later, and he's driving a brand new truck. What do you think? Could it be true? Could it be so? Now, he probably gave it away too. I don't know. He gives everything away. First fruits are sacrificial faith offerings of the first and best fruit of any increase given by the Lord. It was a promise of a future harvest. You see, in giving, we're reluctant to give for fear that we won't have enough of something. Time, money, food, coats, cars. The fear is, well, if I give this away, I'm going to have this much less. But as a prophetic people, we've got to operate under this called law of the harvest. So if you're not harvesting well, just look at what seed you're planting. Everything about the harvest is based on the seed. I can't plant corn, get soybeans. I can't plant tares and get wheat. The seed determined the harvest. You plant your best seed, not your worst seed. Do you know why you plant your best seed? The best seed you can get, $300 a bag of corn, the best seed you can get, you might get 95% germination. Now, the cull seed, back at the place that they raise this corn and they bag it, the cull seed's got about 30 to 40% germination. Isn't that amazing? It's not that hard to understand. The one reason you plant your best seed is because the germination's better. So you got a greater harvest. Right? So you want to plant your best. You give your best. Give the best of who you are. Just you live a life of the best. And if you start living a life of the best, you're going to have so much harvest, you're going to have way more than you need. Prophetically, let's move here. What's happening to this church right now? As a church and as a people, the seed must not be dormant but awakened. There's been all kinds of seeds sown in your heart, in your life. I believe this church is at a place that He's wanting the seed that's within us to come alive, to be awakened. Some of the seed that some of the seed's been through a lot of storms, that's for sure. A lot of the atmosphere has not been conducive to sprout the truth that's in your heart right now. You're wondering why God's not moving. I'm just telling you, some seed lay there a long time. Do not despise the seed that's been planted in your life. If it hasn't sprouted yet, just pray for the atmosphere to be conducive. Now, how do you change that atmosphere? You salt it. That's what you do. How do you salt it? You're the salt. You give of you. You give. I think I've told a few of this story before. Years ago, I went down to Wilmington, and I stayed in a Ramada Inn or something right there at the Battleship, you know, North Carolina. And I was there for a particular reason, but I didn't know I hit the weekend of the big festival at Wilmington at the Battleship. I didn't. So I ended up in the hotel where this big festival was. I mean, the streets were blocked off. There's a Battleship. I was in this hotel, and people were just everywhere. And believe it or not, it was free beer. I don't understand how they did that one. But that's not good. And I was in this hotel that night, about 2 or 3 o'clock. It was so much racket and everything. I got up, and people was just, you can imagine. Imagine what you're thinking it was worse. I finally got up, and I went down on the boardwalk there. It was a mess. And so I went to, I sat down there beside this fellow, and he's just drunk as a cougar. And I looked over, I said, "Can I talk to you about Jesus?" "Well, yeah, but I don't think it'd do me any good." I said, "I'm not doing it for you. I need to do it for me. I need to talk to somebody about Jesus. I need to talk to you for me." He said, "For you?" I said, "For me. Somebody's got to talk about Jesus around here, and you're it. I'm going to talk to you." So I spent an hour talking to him about Jesus. Not for him, but for me. I gave of me for me. Anybody hear what I'm saying? So seeding atmosphere, a lot of times it's for you. You say, "Well, it's not going to do any good." Do it anyhow. You need it. Because you can sit around and talk to a drunk about Jesus and you'll get to feeling better all the time. That's amazing. And he wasn't near as drunk as he thought he was when I got done. I'll promise you that. He at least acted like he was paying attention. He got a little scared, to be honest with you. A seed is awakened as it dies. Here's what happens. There is seed in you that's been promised of God. You can say, well, Alan, it's just about dead. Well, praise God. It's about time. You got to understand the prophetic concept. God puts truth in us all the time. When God's really getting ready to do a big one, He's going to let that truth die in you. I talked to a friend of mine last night, got brain cancer, cancer of the lung. They've given him up, well, a half a dozen times. I said, how you doing? Never felt this good. I said, my body's pretty rough, but I never felt this good. He said, I'm dying, but I'm living. Now, that might be an extreme because he's dying in body, but he's finding more of the Lord. He's living. But it's the same principle. Do not, listen, prophetic people, your faith is in God. Do not be dismayed when truth in you is feeling like and promises they're dying. Because I'm telling you, as it dies, so shall it live. When it lives, you will know it was just the hand of the Lord. You will know it was the Lord that raised it out of that dead seed. He will not share His glory even with your sincerity. He will not. And it's okay. It's just okay. It's okay if it's alive and it's okay if it dies because your truth and your faith is in the Lord. There we find peace. So now consider as something's dying that it's just, it's never been this close to producing a harvest. Can anybody grab that one? I'm telling you the truth. So, as this seed dies, as this guy was told, he brain cancer and all this. And by the way, 2 weeks ago, he went back in and they can't find anything. I forgot to throw that part in. That wasn't the most important thing in our conversations, the reason I didn't bring it up. Right? Yeah. He said, and it was just, it was to see God work and move. Understand that death is the verge of that seed sprouting and the promise. So let it die. It's okay. You won't lose your faith. You just don't understand what the heck's going on. It's okay. It's where our faith is. So I believe this church, I believe as a church, we're at a place of becoming awakened. I think that as a church movement, we're going to come more awake. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about the seed. When the seed's awakened, because our outside covering of the atmosphere of our worship, I believe our outside atmosphere is conducive of revival. I really do. And as that happens, then there's an awakening that starts to occur. That's the reason, and historically, we had what's called the Great Awakenings that happened in America. Now, therefore, he says, here's your scripture. Awaken, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. As the seed awakens, it needs light. Amen. Without the sunlight, the corn plant can't grow into maturity. Now listen, please consider this. Maturity is our goal. Look around now at generations. It's like people will not mature. Some are maturing at 45 and 50 where they should have 16, 17, and 18. It's like the maturing age is moving. I'm serious. The goal is maturity. Without maturity, there's not a harvest. Somebody. Lest the corn plant becomes mature, there's no seed corn for harvest. So we find ourselves spiritually in a place of stunted growth. There are now chemicals out there where they spray wheat to retard growth. There's chemicals out there now that they'll use in a greenhouse that they'll hold all of their flowers to a certain time to bloom, so you spray a growth retardant on it. Last so many days, you want all these roses to bloom at this time. Excuse me, what's the name of the flower at Christmas? Poinsettias. Well, isn't it amazing? They just all bloom the same day. Listen, growth retardants. I believe that the dark side tries to spray the church with growth retardants. The earth with growth retardants. The goal is maturity. You can't bring forth harvest without it. Can somebody hear me? We don't want to stay waist-high corn our whole life and you got to be hoed all the time. Here's how it works. When I plant corn, I put down a little bit of stuff that'll kill weed seed. Now the idea is that corn plant, when it grows up here about knee high to waist high, if you got good growth, the leaves of the corn plant shade the ground under the corn plant. Weeds gotta have light too. But the greater the growth, the greater the shade. Is anybody getting this? The greater the shade, the less the weed. The only reason you had tares in the wheat is because the wheat didn't grow fast enough to shade the tares. Somebody. Can you see it? Why do we come to church? Why do we come in here? It's to learn to grow. We got to grow. We got to move. We got to grow. It's by our growth that it shades the ground to the weeds in your life and everybody else's. So we come in here and our maturity is high, our praise is high, our worship is high, and we can talk. And we come in here and we're in the maturity of the plants, of the corn plants, they're waving their fodder. They're growing. No weed seed can come up under them because there's no light getting through because the corn's mature and has taken in all the available light there is. And then when we take in all the available light there is, we will produce a harvest. Come on, somebody. When we don't produce a harvest as a church, it's because we're growing too slow and we're immature. We got to face the facts. We're immature. Oh my goodness, it's 10:22. Now, in Ephesians 5:14, he wants us to awaken this seed. It's got to die, and it's got to have light. A mature Christian shades the light from the weeds of life. In your home, in your workplace, your maturity should help hold down darkness. Now, son of a gun, I'm going to have to stop there, but how do we awaken out of this? How does this seed awaken to this awaited light? And as a prophetic people, I keep saying this. Please be here next week. I am trying to show you something. I really am. And I'm trying to put it in words. What I want you to see, what I feel like the Spirit of God wants us to see. So as, have you heard anything I said today? Does it quicken this truth to your heart? Well, let's stand as we go into this next service. And I need for you to pray for me. Our pastor's on vacation. I'll be bringing the word this next service. And this, the next service, the word that I'm going to be bringing is a word that shows you why seed is retarded, why it's the growth stops. What's stopping the growth of the corn plant? So I need your prayer, and I need you to come in here and let your father wave, all right? So Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day that you've created. We thank you, oh God, that you've given this opportunity to us to come together as a people. Dear God, I do ask and pray that the light of your word, that the light of Christ would shine in this place, that we could absorb this light that you send to this place, and that it would produce extreme growth, extreme maturity, extreme. Let this church be an extreme church. Let us be known for extreme kingdom, extreme growth, extreme planting. Let it be done, O God. And Lord Jesus, to show you how much we really mean it, we want to worship you.